Everybody ready? Okay. We'll go ahead and start the meeting. Welcome to the March 24th, 2010 Board of Directors meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. Roll call, please.
President Dahl.
Here.
Vice President Dean.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Director Hill.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Thank you, and would you all please join me in the flag salute? Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, this takes us to item number 3, which is public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on items of interest to the board that are not on the agenda. Agenda items, you'll have the opportunity to address the board at the agenda item. So any public comment at this time? Please state your name and your city of residence for the record.
Good evening. My name is Ian Parkinson. I'm from San Luis Obispo. I'm a police captain with San Luis Obispo and also running for sheriff. So I wanted to come down to the board, introduce myself to everybody. Thank you for your time. I think it's really important that we all get here and get familiar with you and you familiar with us. So any opportunity on any break or before and after any meeting, if you want to approach me and ask me any question or express any concerns, I'm here to do that. So thank you for serving the community, and thanks for taking the moment and letting me introduce myself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board?
Up there. And there was conversation about the lack of attendance, the lack of agenda. They don't take minutes. The OHAC reports aren't being, timely and of no importance. Nothing is being brought of importance to the board. And I would just like to suggest for consideration that the directors may consider that perhaps we could save $100 a month by, I don't think that's serving any purpose, is a very good example of any input to our district, and I believe that it's not a representation of what it was intended to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, Mr. President, board members. Hello. My name is Jeff Edwards. As you may recall, we conducted the first in a series of meetings last week regarding the Oceano Airport. The first meeting was a presentation by an attorney with a law firm that specializes in aviation matters, and he presented on the constraints presented by the FAA and Caltrans Division of Aeronautics. It was quite informative, and I learned a couple things. I'd like to share that with you. The first main thing that I learned is that the monies granted to the Oceano Airport, also known as Airport under the Airport Improvement Program, and to date the figure ranges just above $2 million that has been spent for improvements and other studies at the airport. That does not have to be paid back to the FAA in the context of a closure. So the notion that the $2 million has to be paid back is not a requirement per se. So that's one thing. The other thing that I learned is that if the airport were closed and it was committed to some uses that generated a revenue stream, that revenue stream could be used in part or in whole, for that matter, to benefit the San Luis Airport. So the FAA actually encourages that kind of thing when an airport is closed, if some of the revenues actually assist or benefit another airport. So that was helpful to know. The bottom line is that it's not impossible. It's not impossible to close the airport. Certainly there are a number of hurdles, but it's certainly doable. The presentation was videotaped by AGP, so they'll be that'll be available online in the very near term, as will all of the other meetings. There'll be 5 more meetings. The next one's in April, on April 21st. It'll be dealing with the geology of the airport. A lot of information, in part based on the San Simeon earthquake, that there was quite a bit of study down here. So that'll be quite interesting. And then in May, we'll be dealing with economics. So I wanted to bring you up to speed in that regard. And I would say, ultimately, this is about a conversation regarding the possibilities at the airport. The airport lies within the boundaries of this district, and I think it presents enormous potential for the future. And I'd like to close just by recounting a poem or part of a poem in the March 1st, 1922 edition of the Bay and Valley News. This was Oceano's first newspaper, and a poem appeared in that edition written by Miriam Weatherspoon, and it was entitled My Oceano. And toward the end of the poem, it includes a phrase, and I'll quote, "We name ourselves from Oceano, and we partake of its grand possibilities." And perhaps we could extend that idea to the airport in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address?
Good evening, President Dahl, and members of the board, and members of the Oceano community. My name is Joe Cortez. I'm also a candidate for sheriff of San Luis Obispo County. I'm the former police chief in Pismo Beach. I'm your neighbor in Pismo Beach. My wife and I own a retail business there as well. I'm a 36-year law enforcement veteran, and I've been recruited and hired in three different police departments to serve as a police chief of police, most recently in Pismo Beach in 2001. I have a proven track record of turning around organizations, law enforcement organizations that have been dealing with difficulties and turmoil, and that's exactly what I like to do with the Sheriff's Department. As your sheriff, I will be active, I will be approachable, and we'll hold coffee cabinets in this town and others throughout the county so we can learn firsthand of your needs and help you solve your law enforcement and public safety issues. I've given each of you a card. I'd like for you to take a look at it, learn a little bit more about me. My phone number is on there, as well as my website, cortez4sheriff.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can I ask if technical handle that, Mike?
There's a little bit of echo in the mic. Is there anything can be done about that?
Yeah, I'll figure out the closed session.
All right. Thank you.
Rick Searcy, Oceano. I have a couple issues, and we've lived through this guy down the street. Bill Bookout, suing this district and sitting as a member of this district. I think this board should set a policy that any member that's elected to that seat or appointed to that seat and desires to sue this district should be either stepped down before any of that type of action is done. Pamela Dean sat right here the other couple meetings ago crying about Mrs. Angelo's being able to seat when she had the gavel in her hand and ran the meeting. And now she's out throwing lawsuits all over the place. Suing this district. Here's a person that's supposed to be helping this district, and you know, and all it wants to do is find a way to tear it down. So I'd really would like to ask the board to consider a policy being made that any person that runs for this seat or is seated and files a lawsuit against this district be removed. And it's just a shame. I seen it on the wall, you know, when she was sitting up here arguing about all the rules. It was wrong. It was this. It's not wrong. The lawyers told you it wasn't wrong. You know, I heard she got laughed out of court today. I hope that the voting public will finally see the true faces of some of these people trying to knock down this community. I put my time in down here, and the agenda was to bring services to this community and not be spending thousands and thousands of dollars on lawyers and engineers because you don't have the answers.
Okay. Rick, you're in. You're past your 3 minutes.
Thank
you. If you want to sum it
Thank
up.
Thank you, Mr. Searcy.
Anyone else like to address the board?
Evening, Kevin Rice, San Luis Obispo. I, too, would like to express my dismay and disgust for individuals that are trying to bring down the board here and obstruct the public's work. I've read personally in the letters that said that recognize and acknowledge that an action would be a huge waste of taxpayer money, and yet the director that brought this action brought it anyway, despite that on their own admission. It's disgusting, and I see a lot of personal agendas going on, and anybody that's aligning themselves with that individual, you know, you need to get on the right side. Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board?
Carol Henson Oceano, I would like to speak to that as well. I concur with the person that spoke before. I do believe that it's a gross miscarriage of the intent of the directors of the board to have seated members suing the district when they, in other meetings, talk about different things that will cost the district money, but yet are seated on the board and are wanting to sue the district. And I think that's a huge conflict. I know that Bill Bookout did it. I hate to see a district and the people that are here to serve the district tear it down that way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board? Okay, thank you. That concludes our public comment. This takes us on to item number four, which is our closed session items. District Attorney, could you, or Seamus, could you please introduce me?
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, we have two closed session items on for tonight. The first one, item 4A, requires a little bit of discussion. When it was originally agendized, it was agendized as potential litigation against the district by Pamela Dean, as being pursuant to Government Code Section 54569B. Since that time, the litigation has in fact been filed, and so it is now actual litigation. So I need to modify the announcement a little bit. This is a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A to discuss with legal counsel concerning pending litigation, an actual claim. It is San Luis Obispo County case number 100169, Dean versus Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District. Service on the board. I think the likely outcome, but again, it is her decision, but the likely outcome would be that she would have to declare a conflict and recuse herself. My understanding is, though, that Director Angelo has publicly refused receipt of any stipend for her service for the district, at least through the November election. So if that is the case, I think the outcome is different, and I think Director Angelo needs to speak to the issue.
Okay, is there going to be any problem with me going into closed session with this?
If it is in fact factually true that you have refused any compensation from the district, at least through the November election,
yes,
then I don't believe there is any problem with you going to closed session. However, I will tell you that, as I've mentioned before to directors, my opinion is not a safe harbor. If the Fair Political Practices Commission second guesses my opinion on this, it doesn't provide you insulation to make that decision. And that brings to mind one other thing. I know when we talked about Director Dahl's potential conflict of interest a few meetings ago, he had indicated that he was contacting the Fair Political Practices Commission to try and get some sort of an opinion on that. He may have gotten that by now. I don't know. So when he speaks to the issue, he can probably comment on that.
Yes, Director Lucy.
Before we go into closed session, I think for me it's jumping ahead a little bit. First of all, we didn't have the opportunity to even discuss the reality of this agenda even being accomplished. And so the roadmap that we're using to get through this chaos is just simply off the charts. And so this, in order to even move through this, this has to be modified and rapidly, I would say. Secondly, I see in here there's that, and I'm sure I'll be corrected, but I don't see up in the beginning of the agenda any place for director's comments. And so because of so much at stake, you know, our resources, legal's involved. I mean, there's many, many things happening. I think this is reflective of the leadership of this body. And so under all the things that we have in front of us that are, I would call, a crisis, I think we have enough grounds to declare the leadership of this board a state of emergency. So I would like to make a proposal that we change the leadership of the body to get through the crisis that we have that are time sensitive on this agenda.
Well, if I could speak to that just briefly.
And I know I didn't articulate that.
That's not the agenda item. The agenda item is the closed session.
Yes, I understand.
We need to hear from the three directors who may or may not have a conflict as to whether they're going to participate in the closed session or not. Speaking to the particular question you asked, board member comment is item 5 on the agenda.
So that would be a board member discussion or comment.
Right. You couldn't take action tonight, but you could ask staff to bring something back at a future meeting regarding the options that the board might have.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. And on item number 4A, I will recuse myself on that.
I also will recuse myself.
I'm going to go back into closed session.
Okay.
Excuse me, I have a question.
Please, go ahead.
And I'm not targeting anybody, but I believe Lori Angelo didn't refuse her stipend. She asked her stipend to be put into another fund, which is admirable, but I don't know legally whether she refused it or not. And that's just an academic question.
My understanding was that was the initial comment that was made, but that since that time she has decided to refuse. I turned off
the mic. My understanding is that she initially had indicated, as the member of the public had said, but subsequent to that, she had indicated that she was going to simply refuse the stipend. But correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct.
That's fine. Coming back from closed session, Mr. Seamus, could you give the report?
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. With regard to item 4A, a closed session with legal counsel regarding pending litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, that matter being Dean versus Oceano Community Services District, no action was taken. However, I was asked to make a brief report to the public that in the case there was a hearing this morning on a request by the petitioner, Pamela Dean, for an order requiring Director Angelo be removed from the board and invalidating certain contracts and that certain board contracts, and that request was denied. With regard to item 4B, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9C, to determine whether to initiate litigation, the board met and received a report from district legal counsel. The board took action by a unanimous vote and decided not to initiate any litigation at this time. instructed the general manager to take corrective action regarding certain district financial procedures, and instructed district legal counsel to prepare a brief report to the public for presentation at the next regularly scheduled board meeting.
Okay, thank you. This takes us on to item number 5, board member items for discussion. Do you want to start?
I do want to start because I want to answer the allegations about me suing the district and what's happening. As you know, we had a vacancy on the board, and we tried to fill that vacancy on February 10th of this year. At that time, we relied upon our district legal counsel's procedure that said you only required 2 board members to vote in the affirmative to seat a member on the board. We went ahead with that. We went ahead with a procedure based upon a wrong and illegal requirement that our district legal counsel told us. So at that time, we had a vote. Lori Angelo received 2 yes votes. Thelma Hurdle received a yes and an abstain vote, which is actually a yes vote according to our rules of order. And Chuck Nolenbarg received 2 abstain votes, which were 2 yes votes. So we had a 3-way tie. Lori Angelo was not seated legally. We tried after we found out, because I wrote a letter to our general manager and asked them if we had done this right, because I was looking at things and was hearing from other people that this was the wrong way to do it. So I wrote to the general manager. Our legal counsel answered that it takes 3 votes. He was wrong. He took responsibility for being wrong. He said he would do everything in his power to make it right, including not charge the district to be doing this. So at that meeting, at the legal counsel's request, we did a redo, or tried to do a redo of filling the vacancy, and all the candidates came back again. At that time, Lori Angelo refused to step down. She had the legal counsel's letter. She had 2 letters, in fact, and she refused to step down, so we were unable to actually do the right thing. So we have an illegally seated board member here. Since then, I have gone to the I have asked, we did not have any interest in the board in going to the Superior Court to get this taken care of, because that's the only way you can go if somebody refuses to step down. The board goes to the Superior Court. The board did not want to go to the Superior Court. They were silent on that matter. So what I've done is I've gone to Superior Court on my own. I am paying my own legal fees. I think our district legal counsel should be paying our legal fees for us, because he got us into this problem. So that's what happened. We had an ex parte hearing today, which was an emergency request to ask Lori Angelo to step down so that we could prevent any further harm happening here because of her votes, her 3-2 majority. Nobody else seems to want to do that or to listen to what is legal and what is right to do here.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, I do have a comment. With this order today, when we went to court, the judge listened to it, and he basically set it aside at this time. Pamela believes that her idea of what happened is illegal. It hasn't been proven that it was illegal. There are several documentations and things that are going to be reported on. I am going to fight this because I think I'm right. She thinks she's right. So we'll let the courts decide on this. I also have hired my own attorney. And if you need any information or any other comment, you can contact Vincent Martinez at Twitchell & Rice Attorneys in Santa Maria.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else have any director's comments?
I do. I think there's, first of all, I'll comment on Pamela's discussion. I strongly believe that the district acted properly during the appointment of Director Angelo, that the normal rules of order were set aside. We adopted a specific rule of order for that proceeding. Vice President Dean chaired that portion of the meeting, and those rules were unanimously adopted. There were special rules governing the appointment because our own normal rules of order didn't address the situation. So I don't believe that those were, if you go back and look, you'll see that we did adopt special rules of order for making the appointment. And I take exception to Director Dean's characterization of any of the board's action as illegal. It's interesting for a profession that in any court proceeding, there's a lawyer on each side, and in 50% of all legal actions, one of the attorneys is wrong. So relying religiously on one legal opinion is probably not the best thing in your interest. Moving on, I would like to have put on the agenda for the next meeting reassignment of our committees, because we do have a new director. I'd like to see that the new director gets on appropriate committees. I think the committees need to be reassigned. I'm especially concerned that the Fire and Fire Oversight Committee, while Director Dean sits on that, she in fact has a project that is being administered by the district, and it may be a conflict of interest to require the fire staff that has to review that project while she's on the fire committee. I also see that on the agenda tonight, despite repeated requests, we don't have quarterly investment results. We don't have any mid-year budget review. More to follow on that. Also on the subject of committees, taking note of public comment this evening, I'm not certain that either the Oceano Advisory or the Airport Land Use Commission have really relevant information to bring back to the board. And in the interest of saving money, I'd like to see those committees eliminated.
Okay, anyone else have money?
Yes. Well, I ran for office because it just disgusted me that the director, that the people had elected, was now turning around and suing the people. And that was Director Bookout. And then just because I mentioned his names, I too was threatened with lawsuit. And now we have a second director who wants to sue the people who elected her. And I just, this is, it's baffling to me that somebody would have the audacity to sit up here and be for the people, but on the other hand, be suing you. The weak argument of that legal counsel went and charged the district. The bottom line is the people of Oceano pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars each year for legal counsel. So whether it's spent in this area, it'll be spent in another area on a petty bullshit. I mean, excuse my language. Petty. The audacity to sit up here and say I'm representing you, but I'm going to sue you too. You know, and I want it to be abundantly clear. It's that Director Dean who is suing the people of Oceano. It's not the board of directors who are suing the people of Oceano. So, I also, too, is that this speaks very, very loudly to the lack of leadership since we have changed presidents. We have made it through a agenda, and it was a bare-bones agenda, and we have yet to make it through any of the agendas, which pushes all the work back that the district has on its plate. And, you know, it delays that forensic audit just a little bit more, and it delays getting the accounting system in just a little bit more. So I ask that we put on the next agenda a discussion and an action regarding the leadership of this board and quite possibly changing the officers, which one is actively suing the people of Oceano.
Is that everything? Thank you.
This moment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not going to have any board member item comments, so this will take us on to item number six. Number six, which is the review and approval of the minutes. So the minutes for February 24th.
I think the minutes, I'd like to see these tabled. I think they need more work. I'm especially concerned that some items state that, for example, the appointment of a director was illegal. That may be one board member's opinion. I don't think it reflects the opinion of the board. And there's other issues on it. One thing I do note on it is the requesting that we have quarterly asset report and mid-year budget cycle put on the next agenda. I don't see that. So I think the this agenda should be tabled. It needs more work.
I'd like to speak to that agenda because I made a presentation during agenda item 5, and I'd like to see my words in there. I did give that information to the note taker. It is also a part of the record. And I should note that on page 2, on the numbered items, failing a vote for a special election, it goes to the Board of Supervisors, who must appoint by March 31, 2010. We need to remove that word election on there. And on page 3, at the very last paragraph, bottom line, the government code section is 61045. It was in number 5, the numbered 5, March 31st, 2010, and it should be a period.
I'm sorry, was there not a motion to table the minutes?
There was not.
Work on
okay, so did staff get those
changes?
Is there something else, Director Dean?
No, those were the changes I had.
Okay, anyone else have any changes to the minutes?
On page 3, under procedures, I think Nancy McNeil's name is spelled M-A-C. Also, it says Ms. Henson stated, let the district do the will of the people. Do you mean the will? Okay. I'm sorry. And there's a couple of other ones, too. Go ahead.
Is there something else? Is there any additional changes yet, Director Lucy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Director Angela?
No.
Okay, did staff get all the changes, or do you need them submitted in writing? Okay. So unless there's no objections, we'll table this until the next meeting.
That their minutes, their testimony be put in the board packets, and they are every single time. There's actually anonymous people who are put in the board packets, but I know that Henson has asked several times. I know that Nancy McNeil, she asks every single time that hers be put into the board packets. And so I need an answer as to why selective people, their opinions and their comments are put in and distributed brought widely, and some that don't even have the audacity to put their names on the hate mail, and then there's some that are just blown off. So
I don't participate in preparing any of the minutes, but I can tell you that in the almost nine years that I've served as district legal counsel, this has gone all over the lot, from doing very, very stripped down minutes to minutes that were not far from being verbatim transcripts of the meetings. So it seems to me that what the board might want to consider is developing some kind of a comprehensive policy and directive to staff regarding how extensive you want the minutes to be, and then staff can simply carry out that policy.
Yeah, whatever it may be, I want consistency. I want people to be treated equally.
Okay. How does the rest of the board feel as far as putting down some policies on the minutes?
Well, the people who
have a policy, perhaps we can ask staff one of the directors to come up with a proposed policy.
Yeah. I can send it to one of the standing committees and work on it, or can have staff bring some recommended
maybe staff
policies.
Would have a suggestion, since I think the burden of doing the minutes falls on the staff.
Okay. And how does the rest of you feel about that? Is that good enough for direction? Okay. All right, any other comments on the minutes? All right, public comment on the minutes. Please step to the podium, state your name and residence.
My name is Giselle Naylor. I'm a resident of Oceano. I'd like to make a comment about what we just discussed. I'd like to make a suggestion that if somebody wants, from the public, wants their information entered into the record, then why don't we just do what the courts do and what the lawyers do? When you bring in information to the court, there's usually some kind of procedure whereby the court date stamps and initials to verify the document that you're submitting. That might be one way to go. The other thing is that maybe when public records are refused over and over and over again, like through a period of weeks and years, like my requesting that the OCSD provide water maps, sewer line maps, and those public requests were made to you, Mr. Dahl. They were made to Gina Davis over and over and over again. They were made to Mitch Cooney. Mitch Cooney, after 6 years, produced one map. And then when I asked him to certify it so that it could be an official OCSD map, he refused to tell me where he got it from, and he refused to certify that it was an official map. So putting public records on the agenda, I can see how the two would dovetail. For instance, my written request to Mr. Montemurro and my written request to board members to provide copies of the public record in the form of Oceano Community Service District water maps and sewer maps, when I make that written request and then Gina Davis denies, or Mr. Montemurro denies date stamping and initialing the receipt, there's no way to say when a request from the public is made pursuant to the First Amendment and the Public Records Act. And if I want to put something in the agenda
regarding, you know, my question as to why these public records would be not be denied to me. I certainly would want it to go into the public record, be addressed in the agenda, so there's some record that the request was made and the date that it was made. So the last request, because I've been requesting over a period of 10 years and it's been repeatedly denied by Gina Davis and by Phil Davis, what bothers me is that when I ask Phil Davis point blank, do you know who previously owned the water before there was an...
For the sewers, we should have it in our office tomorrow. So give me a call and you'll be more than welcome to look at it. The printers called me and told me it was done.
Okay, thank you.
I would, if I could briefly comment on that too, I would request that staff, anytime there's a public records request, and I'd recommend the public follow this procedure as well, that I would request that the staff date stamp that, copy it, give the requester back a copy of their request, and then keep one for the district's use.
Okay, any other comments on the minutes? Public comment. Okay.
I just have one question. I'm sorry. Is this on page agenda item number 3? No. On page 8G, is this something that was included in submitted under public testimony? This declaration of failures that's on the agenda. Wasn't this submitted under public comment?
Okay, we're
December 9th.
We're on the minutes.
I know. I want to know if this document was included as was this handed in to be included in the packet during public comment.
Ask the general manager.
I don't believe that it was given to us as public record. It was read by a constituent at the microphone the way I remember it.
That's not this agenda item.
Okay, that concludes this agenda item. Moving on to item number 7, consideration of warrants. Public, do you have anything to add to the warrants?
I have, nothing to add. Right. The vouchers are here, and if the board has any questions, I'll attempt to answer them.
All right. Thank you. Public comment on the warrants? Hearing none, bring it back to the board.
Two quick questions. Just on page 5, there's a couple of premium surcharges to the state compensation insurance fund. It is normal. I don't understand the term surcharge on that. That could be explained.
That's billed to us once a year. I think the verbiage about the surcharge is actually
for. Okay. Second question would be the warrant to Tuckfield and Associates. Is that a comprehensive billing from them, or is it a portion of what's yet to come?
I spoke with Steve Tanaka from the Wallace Group on that, and he said that was a billing to date of what's been done, and I asked him, for example, how we should split up the $7,000-some-odd, and he said that half of it would be for water rates and half of it would be for sewer rates.
Okay. No other questions.
All right, anyone else have any questions, comments on the warrants?
On page 6, Harold Wright, what exactly does he do?
He has big belt buckle.
Well, I haven't seen him, but he's doing professional services in the office. Is that what he does?
What he does is he's a part-time person that comes in and does, helps with the audit, does accounting work. He works full-time for Cal Poly. And then sometimes, 4 hours on an evening shift or maybe 5 or 6 hours on a weekend shift, he comes and he helps us. Right now he's working on closing out the last audit that we had so that we can start the new one.
Okay.
And the last time, he also worked, he helped us with the 941 form.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Dr. Lucy, you had some?
Yeah, on page, maybe not back. On page two, there's just a couple things that are out of order on the check numbers. It goes from 420 to 422, but I see I found 421, so forget that one. And then 29 is missing, and 32 is missing. If we could just next time have a brief explanation, just one or two liner.
Just one second.
Printer aided, whatever.
Which two are missing?
Number 504-32.
And 504-29. All right, yeah. I'll let you know what happened to
numbers. I'd just like to see the contract that's tied to these numbers.
I've found the two,
and I've marked them.
I found the two check numbers 50432 and 50429. They're on page one. Go to the other page.
Okay. I don't see them on one. Oh, okay. Great. Okay, so if you could just check on those couple things for me, I'd appreciate that. And then, on page six, $731 for glass and mirror. Just need a little bit more.
I believe that was a repair of a window. It was one of those thermal panes.
Is it a repair or is it a new window?
It's the replacement of one of the double pane special windows in the south station.
So it's a replacement, okay. Not a new window. Not
it's a double pane window. The inside cracked. They took that cracked one out, put a new one in.
Great. So it's not a new window.
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more? Anyone else?
I move approval of the warrants as presented.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 5-0. Okay. This moves, takes us on to item number 8. 8A.
8A, approval of lease with Divvy Lend Equipment Leasing LLC for the purpose of the new accounting software for Tyler Technologies. This is a follow-up. Our previous board meeting, we approved and we signed and sent off the contract with Tyler Technologies, and I asked the board what their pleasure was as far as the lease payment, and the board expressed that they wanted the $3,043.11 payment for the next 5 years, starting June is the first one. And this is just a formality. It also shows the last page has the amortization, so we know exactly, for example, if a couple years from now we're fortunate enough to have a few extra dollars, we can pay it off anytime. And I would ask that where that's marked, the Honorable President Dahl sign it.
Okay, any public comments on this item?
Carol Henson, Oceano. I had a question regarding the cost of the services the district now employs to send out the water bills. My question is, how long will it be before this new system will be implemented and we can abate using the people coming in to do the runs on the old computer, sending out the water bills to be done to another company? and all of the expense associated with the old computer deal and other services that we are now contracting out to other people with regard to the water bills. What will the transition time be that we can quit paying these people that are now employed and have the new system take over?
Okay, thank you. If you can come in and get those questions answered at the from the
well, I kind of wanted to ask them in public comment so that the public could hear and know those questions.
Okay.
And that was why I did it. So I'm sure that when we quit contracting out all of the and having people come in for all of these specific parts of that run the district, I'm sure that that $3,000 payment will probably not be too much more than what we're already paying out. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other public comment on this item? Okay. Bringing it back to the board. Any discussion?
I would move that we approve the lease with Divland Equipment Leasing, LLC, for the purchase of the new accounting software from Tyler Tech.
I do have some questions about that contract. We had no attorney's fees clause in there. Is that correct? So if Tyler breaches the contract and the district sues and wins, the district cannot recover our attorney fees?
Oh, cool.
There's no venue clause, or which refers to the place where the dispute shall be resolved, so this could be problematic because Tyler's in Texas. And the software, if software malfunctions, the Tyler's liability is extremely limited. The district might be seriously injured and not be able to recover its losses. I wanted to let people know that out there that the city of Ventura has filed a $1.7 million civil lawsuit against Tyler Technologies. The complaint is that Tyler missed every single deadline and milestone set forth in the contract and was unable to make even one of the 19 modules operational. And the Spokane Regional Health District officials have stopped paying their bills for Tyler Technologies, affirm they are considering suing for selling them a $200,000 financial software system they say doesn't work. California government codes say that under Section 54202, we require a special district to follow certain guidelines when purchasing supplies and equipment. OCSD has adopted Ordinance Number 1985-1, which states, when purchasing equipment and supplies, the district shall call for bids, and when the cost of such purchases exceeds $5,000 or the maximum allowable by the state, whichever is greater, the current state limit is $25,000. The software purchase really should go to competitive bid and using the request for proposal process. You can ask them exactly what you need and get a bid based upon that. At our 3/10 meeting, we were told by the general manager that the software cost was $115,625. The actual cost now that we're looking at with financing is $223,786.60. The actual plan costs without the maintenance and upgrades has not been presented to the board. We only had one selection, and it's there. The GM has not stated the cost of upgrades and maintenance after the five-year period. I'd like to know some of these things. Hardware costs have not been determined. I asked about that at the last meeting. Is OCSD's hardware capable of running this software? And I was told that Ivan would have a report. I don't have Ivan's report. When you get into the software business, if your hardware doesn't work and doesn't run it, it's a very expensive proposition. We have had no cost comparisons given to the board. I have concerns about proceeding with this because I don't have a lot of answers to this.
Sounds to me like in the very worst case, if the software failed completely, we'd be about where we are now. And we're paying thousands of dollars for an Excel spreadsheet currently with our system, that's totally unacceptable. We need to proceed with a new system at the greatest possible speed.
I would like to proceed with the new system at the greatest possible speed, but I'd also like to follow the law, and it does require competitive bidding.
Now, this is a problem when we don't have staff reports that have the information to us at the time, you know, with costs and that type of thing. You know, then these things come up after the fact, and we don't know what we've, you know, what we're getting for the $200,000 and what the other options were out there. It's just, you know, I mean, to rush something through and get numbers at the last minute gives us, you know, then we find out problems, you know, problems later on.
Director Dahl, can I ask a question
yes,
of you?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Gosh, that sounds so horrible. Can I ask that we take a five-minute break and that the general manager go get the file that that shows what little bit of research that you've done and then we could probably pull this right up to speed because there is a motion on the floor and it has a second. So I don't want people to be under the impression. I want people to see the file as far as the comparisons and such. I think that you have two choices when you're going out to RFP, which is request for proposals, or an RFQ, request for qualifications, and that is.
I know we've already gone through public comment, and
you're
I'm getting.
General manager.
I'm going to call the question. It's fine. Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Restate the motion.
The motion was that we approve the lease with DivLand Equipment Leasing, LLC, for the purchase of the new accounting software from Tyler Technologies and direct the president to sign the lease as necessary.
Okay, I just want to make sure this is still the same one. Yes.
Vice President Dean?
No.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
No.
I got my system. I can't believe it.
Okay, this takes us on to item number 8B. General Manager, please introduce this.
Item number 8B, District declaring weeds on certain properties to be a public nuisance. Oceano Community Service District Resolution number 2010-3. I would ask that you please look at the one that was placed at the Diaz earlier this afternoon, because last night the fire committee met and made some changes, minor changes, and for example, the biggest change on the resolution was the word weeds was replaced by vegetation, and for example, it was the will of the fire committee that after we send out the original postcards like we've done in the past and stuff, that the ones that the fire department feels need to be worked on, that we send out a second letter, and that is on the second page. It says May 14, send out a letter. And those were the changes that were made after the agenda packet went out. And it was discussed thoroughly, myself, the fire committee, and the fire chief, and we agreed that this procedure will work for this year, and we would ask that the board approve resolution 2010-03.
Yeah,
that concludes my report.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item?
I'd like to make comment about the issue that was just...
No, this is on this item here. We're past that item already.
Thank you, Brendan. I'll sit down.
Thank you. There's public comment on the weed abatement. Are the vegetation abatement?
I'd like to make a public comment.
On the vegetation abatement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Being a weed at the district myself, I'm kind of curious how come there was no request for public comment on the contract issue?
There was.
There was no request for public comment on the last issue.
There was.
Did anybody hear that?
No. I had my hand up. I was not public.
She had her hand up the whole time.
I didn't hear it. They're waving the leaves. There was no request
okay.
for public.
We are now on this item. There was. You can review the tapes if you want.
Everybody that heard a request for public comment.
Okay, this is not a debate. Okay. This is we're on this item. This is where we're at right now. Please bear with us. Thank you. All right.
Can we bet
so is there any?
The Eagles? I say $10. So you, for
okay. Is there any additional public comment on this on item number 8B on the weed debate? Okay. Hearing none, bringing it back to the board. Discussion.
We have a consistent policy this time around, right? Because last time there was a little waffling and we had a couple little bumps in the road, nothing major, but
yeah.
There were some complaints and there was some weeds on the property line, you know. So, but I'm confident staff has made it so it's fair and equitable across the board.
Do you want to address that?
The issues that were raised last year in regard to the weed abatement last night, I believe that the fire chief and the fire committee and we had one of the fire captains here, we've discussed it. The chief came up with a nice point of how they're going to view them this year to hopefully, you know, speed up the process a little. So I'm confident that the procedure as presented before you will serve our constituents, and that's why I'm recommending approval.
And Raphael, there was discussion about what's going to move forward there, so
okay.
I was just following up with what had
right.
been discussed at the last fundraiser.
Right. But we are going out to bid on this one this time. Anyone else have any?
So the item is to approve the calendar as presented and the resolution. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, so. But that's not out to bid.
Well, the bid process is in the is in the calendar on April 15th to
okay.
post notice in both the Times Press Recorder, actually in the Times Press Recorder for the bids, and then the. Bids are opened in on May 13th, but it's according to the attached calendar. I would move approval if the...
I have one other
okay.
item to talk about on this first.
Okay, excuse me.
That's all right. There's one item in here that I think was misprinted. On the May 14th issue, it says send out letter, second notice to every property owner. That was not the intent of what we're talking about, and I don't think that we should be doing that. The intent was to send out a second notice to the properties that are on the list to be abated and not to every property owner.
That is correct.
Mr. President, if you do that, you're going to be sending out on the 14th something that isn't generated until later on.
Okay, yeah, that's what the... issue was that issue was discussed, and there was going to be some modifications to be able to do that. Is that correct, General Manager?
The chief thought that they would have two people work on it this year, and last year one person worked on it. So that's where we came up with the 14th. But yes, the second notice was to be to the people that were on the list that needed service.
Yeah. So. So you verify that they're competent or that that's been done so that that list will be done by May 14th?
Yeah. We're supposed to meet the fire chief, myself, Captain Bova, who's going to do it for us this year, and another. They're going to give
okay.
Captain Bova an assistant so that they can have the inspections done by the 13th, so we can send out the letters on the 14th.
Okay. Should we rephrase that to the May 14th, or as soon as the list is completed, or is that just redundant?
Staff understands clearly that the May 14th letter is only to go out as a second notice, the postcard being the first notice, to lots that have been inspected previously and we feel there needs to be abatement.
Okay. All right, that's all I had. So I'll entertain a motion.
I would move approval of the calendar with the notation that the May 14th date includes only those property owners actually scheduled for abatement, and approval of Resolution 2010-3, Resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District declaring vegetation on certain properties to be a public nuisance.
I second that.
Okay. Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director
Lucy?
Yes.
President
Dahl? Yes. Okay, this takes us on to item number 8C, fireworks program for 2010. General Manager?
Item number 8C, the fireworks program for 2010. The fireworks program permitting process for 2010, it's also the revised one that was on your desk today, because the one that I had prepared with the chief's help last night, the committee didn't approve. So the one that's before you for approval per the committee is basically exactly the same policy that you had last year before I came, and the only thing that was done today was the dates were changed so that if you would like to approve it, you can, and I'm sure that it's what we understood the committee's choice to be.
Okay. A public comment on this item? Fireworks program? Okay. Hearing none, bringing it back to the board. Discussion?
I understand there was possibly another proposal from the fire chief. Did that involve?
I guess difference is on last night's recommendation to the fire committee was that it has been past practice to limit the number of participants to between 4 and 6. This year, under the recommendation of the fire chief, Michael E. Hubert, and for the increased safety of the residents, we would like the number of participants to be 2. And there was, in previous years, the board elected to charge a $385 fee, and the last change was this year we would suggest the fee be $500 because there would only be 2 vendors. But it didn't approve, and, you know, I was instructed by the committee, and what's before you is the same policy you had last year.
Any other comments? Discussion?
This has been a continuing kind of source of confusion and I don't know, bad feelings, whatever. I understand that some of the vendors last year effectively made no money on it. It's supposed to be a fundraiser for some of them. I'm very concerned that the recommendation of the fire department to limit the number of fireworks booths in the interest of public safety is not reflected here. I would hope that we would very strongly consider the recommendations of the fire department with regard to public safety and consider limiting the number of participants perhaps to two as suggested.
The reason that it didn't look at a limitation per se is that the amount of money that the participants made over, you know, for the year didn't have anything to do with public safety, but and the amount of fireworks that people are going to buy is not going to change much, if any, if a booth or two was missing. And we thought that if they're going to limit the number of booths in Oceano, we should try to do it through attrition instead of telling somebody that they can't participate after they've participated for a long time.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, the public safety part kind of threw me off because I live on Beach Street and, you know, we have the best show in this county. And we don't have a permit on our street, but we have a lot of rocket launchers, and nobody's gotten hurt yet, you know. But the booths, you know, they just help people, you know, get a little bit of money for their nonprofit. So I know it's kind of, you know, flipping and flopping, but I don't see these fireworks coming out of these booths as being the problem, you know. I don't know, living in the middle of Oceano, I don't really see a problem besides the traffic in Pismo that night, you know. But I think that limiting it to two is just not fair to the nonprofits in the area. Just, I think at least 3 to 5 is my personal opinion. And if people don't want to participate in that, then, you know, they have that choice.
Okay. Anybody else?
I do. And I want to agree with Director Lucy. I hate to block people out of it because they count on this for their revenue, for helping kids, for helping our people here in this district. And I didn't want to just say out of hand, oh, no, we only want two this year. So we are thinking of using the attrition part, and also as we move into the JPA, things may change over time. But a lot of these community organizations we're talking about, this is their major fundraiser for us. So that's why we kept it the same, and we'd like to keep it the same this year and kind of go through that same the same way we did it last year. So I'd like to keep it going like that.
And if you ask the Sheriff's Department, there was no incident
program, the permitting process and fees as presented here in what's before the board.
Okay, I have a motion.
Does that motion include the limitation down to two?
No, it's the one that's on your desk, the same procedure as last year, right. The same $385 fee, no changes.
Okay. No, yeah.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, a roll call vote, please.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hill?
No.
President
Dahl? Yes. Okay, this takes us on to item number 8D, the 218 guidelines.
The 218 guidelines for submission pursuant to Article 12D as in David, Section 6A of the California Constitution. The discussion and recommended approval of the 218 guidelines before you. This was the last time that I received input. A few changes were made, and unless the board has any additional additions or corrections, I would recommend approval because the forms have been, I've gotten input from Director Dean, Director Hill, more than once, and we believe that as presented before you, they'll work for our district. And if we need to raise the water rates, we at least need to agree on the procedures. So if you like the procedures as presented, please vote for them. If not, please share with me what you would like added or deleted. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on the 218 guidelines, this item? Please.
I think before you do anything about raising water rates or do anything related to this, you need to give the public access to water maps so that they know where their water lines are going. And if one person is paying for somebody else's water, as happened on my street, then that person should be reimbursed for the water that somebody else was using. And I'm speaking specifically of my property, because for 10 years I've been hearing water going through my lines when my water wasn't turned on in my house. And I knew that I was losing water somehow, even though I've had all my water lines repiped by a contractor and approved by the county. And I kept coming in and speaking with Phil Davis and with Gina to try and get access to maps of my street actually showing how the water lines run. So before you raise water rates, I think you need to know who's got a meter and who doesn't, and who's using water and not being billed for it. So when Mitch Cooney, after 6 years, coughed up one map showing that my neighbor had two houses but no water lines to two houses, I began to put two and two together. And when my neighbor finally tore down one of the houses and rebuilt another and put in new water lines, and Phil Davis knows that he put in a new meter, I guess, and now the two houses are running off one meter, Phil Davis or a water map would be able to verify the accuracy of that statement. You know, for the last 10 years, I'm kind of curious as to what that guy was doing for water. And after he rebuilds his water lines, how come I don't hear water running through my water lines again? It makes me think that the subdivision that I live in, when it was agriculture, had water lines that were hooked up. And I think people knew about it, but there was never any way to access the records to find out what was going on. So before you raise the water rates, I think what you need to do is make the water maps and the sewer maps for all of Oceano a public record. And that doesn't just mean getting a list of the water meters, because when I asked, you know, for the 100th time to the Oceano Community Services District, Gina Davis, Phil Davis, to make the, to, you know, gain access to the water and sewer maps, and was denied that on a regular basis over a period of 10 years, it makes it hard to really see what's there. And then when I got the one map showing that my neighbor had no sewer for two houses, and then couldn't get...
Don't have budget reports. So consequently, how can we raise the rates other than saying the district's short on money? But where is it short and why is it short? And, you know, I don't think there's enough transparency with the budget, and I think we need to know these questions.
Okay, thank you.
To briefly respond to that, this particular action is only about a procedure that would be used basically to notify all the residents and allow a protest should the district in the future endeavor to raise water and sewer rates. This is not an action to raise water and sewer rates.
That's correct, yep.
And we also saw on the warrants that the Tuckfield and Associates are the people that are working on that study They are using all of our billing input and all of our water and sewer master plan in looking at those. So that is in progress, and that will be reported out to everyone.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment on this item?
There is one more. And I'm not going to speak after this. I know I'm taking up a lot of time. This is really important.
It's okay.
Totally by chance, on March 17th, after making repeated requests for the sewer maps, and the sewer maps being literally denied, I mean, you know, me coming in saying, where are they? And them saying, oh, we're going to send it to the printers tomorrow. Oh, it's already at the printers. And me driving up there and Burdine saying, we didn't get any sewer maps. Why are they telling you they sent the sewer maps up here to be copied? Well, totally by chance, on the corner of Pike Street and Elm, I see a guy in an unmarked white truck hook up to a fire hydrant, one of those big couplers, and get water for his truck. So my question to you is, if water is being stolen from the sewer or from the water district, how do you keep track of that? Who pays for that? Or did somebody get permission?
Okay, thank you.
This was a private truck.
Did you get a license
thank you.
Number?
No, I was just like,
business
okay.
You know,
did you get a key?
Okay.
I was on a mission to get the sewer maps.
All right. General Manager Montemiro, does she have the maps? Do you have the maps you need now or not?
No, sir, but I was called today.
Not for the county.
And they told me that one of the maps that we're talking about is a sewer map. It's an old map. It's like this thick and it's big pages. We couldn't even do it in-house. But it's ready. I'm going to pick it up tomorrow.
And that's a sewer profile rather than a map of the system.
Okay. And was it sent out to Burdine Printing? Did you
they have it. Okay. They called me and said, come and get it. It's ready. But today, in preparation of this meeting, I didn't get a chance to go. But I'm going tomorrow to get it.
And would you quickly address the issue of people taking water out of fire hydrants and how that process is?
Phil and I will look into it first thing in the morning.
Okay. There are meters. Basically, there's meters that people, if they're going to buy water from us, there's a meter they need to pick up. Isn't this correct? Is that how it's done? There's a meter that needs to be that they pick up that is attached to the fire hydrant that meters that water, and they pay for that water. If they're doing it without a meter, then they are stealing the water. Okay, and then that's a call to the sheriff's department. Okay. I'm sorry. Right. Okay. Okay. Let's finish this, and we'll do that. All right. Any other public comment on the 218 guidelines? Okay. Bringing it back to the board. Discussion. Motion.
I move that we approve the resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District adopting guidelines for the submission and tabulation of protests in connection with the rate hearings conducted pursuant to Article, 12, Section 6 of the California Constitution and related noticing. So I'm putting before the board that we use this resolution for the protest hearing. We've been looking at this since September.
Article 13D or is it 12?
Yes, sir. It's 13.
It's
13D, Section 6. The one that's before you, the largest change, and we felt it was a good change, was on page 4. What it did is previously there was only one signature for the APN number, name of owner of record, the address, or the APN number, whatever you had, and there was one signature line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that part of it is for the owner. What was added was the opportunity, I authorize, and then there's a blank, to submit this protest of water sewer rate increase to the OCSD on my behalf. Okay. So in that blank, you as owner could write, like if you were going to be gone the day of the protest or on vacation or whatever, you could list your neighbor or your friend or whatever and then sign it.
And then the owner would sign the same place.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, great. That's the largest and the newest addition to why it's before you this evening.
Great. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, I've got a motion. I don't have a second.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Any final thoughts before we go to roll call? Okay, roll call, please.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
No.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, we're going to take a short break now. Okay, we are coming back to order after the break. And we are now at item number 8E, but there's been some staff requests, and we have some business that has to be taken care of still under item number 10, and I wanted to move item number 10 and do item number 10 at this point and then come back to finishing up on item 8, if that's acceptable to everybody on the board.
I note that we have a lot of people out here for this particular item. They've been waiting 3 hours, and I would think we could work through this fairly rapidly and get it done in 15 minutes or so.
Okay.
What does everybody else think?
That's fine. I'd like to pull number F off and discuss that at a later date.
Okay.
It's not time sensitive.
All right. Is who's here for item 8E, the air pollution letter? For the air pollution letter?
Well, I'm not here for that, but I want to speak to it.
Okay. All right. Shall we do 8E then and then continue on with 10?
Yes, please.
All right. That's what we'll do then. Okay. Item number 8E. Could you please introduce this, General Manager Montemiro?
Item number 8E. Request that the OCSD send a letter of support to Air Pollution Control District, APCD, urging that mitigation measures for the prevention of particulate matter be further explored, and I would pass to Director Dean because she requested that I put this on the agenda.
Okay. Yes, I did request that it be put on the agenda, and I'd like to expand it a little bit more. This came up when I started attending the APCD particulate studies. The first one was back in November 23rd of 09. I actually gave everyone on a board my notes for that study that I attended, and then the March 3rd I attended that meeting also. What we found is that there are some key findings about particulate matter and how it affects the Napomo Mesa and actually our own community here in Oceano. And I wanted to explore that a little bit more, and I wanted to send a letter in support not only to the APCD but also to the Board of Supervisors and probably the Health Department. And my request is not to close the OHV, but to actually begin some mitigation measures and some studies to determine the extent of the health problems that are happening, and I've had people tell me are happening to them, not only in my own community, but also on the Napomo Mesa. So I just wanted to get that out there. I wanted to support people. I believe after listening to the studies and what they reported, the three studies corroborated that particulate matter is being picked up from the beach. It's very small particulate matter, less than 2 microns. In fact, smaller than normal in normal situations. This is picked up, it's carried a long distance, and it goes directly into people's lungs when they breathe. So what they spoke about after these studies are that there are mitigation measures they can use, and they already know what some of them are. There are some sand fences, there's vegetation, things like that to help prevent that particulate from being picked up and taken out to our neighbors and to us. So, and I'd like to also see that health studies be included. So that is why I brought it to the board. It's been looked at by Pismo City Council and Grover Beach, and those two bodies thought that they wanted to wait until the parks people had completed their EIR for that their environmental impact report for purchase of the Gandhi track. When Mr. Zilke spoke about it, he's the manager of the OHV. He said that they hadn't done their request for proposals yet. So we're talking years before that happens, and I think we need to start looking at things right now. So I open it up to the public to speak and for the board discussion.
All right. At this point, we'll go to public comment.
My name's Dave Angelo. I live here in Oceano. And just so I'm sure everybody knows, but just so everybody does know, I do use the OHV, just for the record. But what my concern with this board getting involved with such a thing as the particulates in the air is it's not part of your charter. It's not one of your laden powers. It's just another layer of government. I mean, we have a county air quality control district or board. It's county. We pay our tax dollars for them to watch the air for us. These constituents in this town pay us to watch the water for them and the fire and so forth. So it's just completely, it's a waste of, I'm not saying it's not worth looking at or whatever, but it's not worth this board looking at or this board spending any time or effort on, because you have too much other stuff that pertains to stuff that you're supposed to be doing that's not getting done.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak to this?
Carol Henson, Oceano. I would like to speak to the same subject. I'm just wondering what authority does the OCSD have regarding these particulates and these air studies that need to be done, are being done, and addressing that issue. And I'm wondering, too, why we're involving ourselves when we have no control over what is done or isn't done. And then Pamela Dean made some comment that she would like to, I believe, interface with the Board of Supervisors. And I wanted to know if she was going to be doing that in the district's behalf or as the board's behalf or as a private citizen. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board? Please come to the podium.
Good evening. My name is Nell Langford. I own property in Oceano. And I do think that public health is in your purview. This board has spoken out regarding the Oceano Dunes many times. I've applauded you for your past commitment. One was for the sale of the La Grande tract. You were opposed to it. In fact, there was a brief moment of joy when you all decided you wanted to purchase it, which I thought was a great idea and still do. So it is in your purview and has always been. The cities of Pismo Beach and Grover Beach have sent letters, and they're not affected by this pollution. We are. It's in this room. It's deadly. It's your responsibility, really, to not ignore this. And people are watching how you handle this situation. Are you going to just say it's not in your purview? Are you going to vote no against the letter? Or are you going to be on the lookout for your constituents who are facing health issues that are caused from the Oceano Dunes State Vehicular Recreation Area? And it is in your power to step up to the plate and show your courage and try to protect public health, which is your number one charge. You're not here just for water. You're not here just for sewer. You are our elected officials, and we depend on you to protect us. Thank you.
Thank you. Please. Please state your name and city for the record. Thank you.
The name is Ann Steele, and I'm a resident of Arroyo Grande. I live right at 13th Street, in case there's a question. And what I've brought with you, with me, to show you all, is what's in the air. I run two of these machines within my home. I do not have windows open, and I do not smoke. Have never smoked. Yet, this will show you what you are breathing. I am trying not to breathe, and what may be affecting our health. I was just talking with a family member who did toxic cleanups for about 12 years, and he was sharing that this silica is the same thing as what we used to apply to babies as talc. And the reason they stopped using it was that babies got pneumonia from too much talc. As adults, the mothers sometimes came down with a little thing called ovarian cancer from talc. So we're dealing with something pretty serious. It's not to be messed with. And I wanted you to see with your own eyes what, and I do not have a lot of windows open, and this is coming underneath my door. And I run two of these machines. This is what you're breathing in. There was some of that dust started coming in the door.
Come back over to the microphone if you would, please.
This is what you're breathing in.
How long has that accumulated?
This is about 8 months. This is a very expensive filter. I paid $120 for it. It is a professional. It is a medically approved air filtration system. Comes out of Corona, California, by the Aerox people. It is a filtration system that they use in hospitals for the veterans and other medically sensitive people. This is what you're breathing in. This is what you're breathing in. It was a pale shade of pink. Pale shade of pink. And I can show the board a picture of it when I first got it. And the previous one that looks just like this one, I take a picture of. As I bring the new one in, I take a picture of the old one. So you can see, if you need to see a picture of the old one. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board?
I don't know how many you're buying into this baloney. You put an air filter anywhere in the world and run it for months, it's going to turn brown. I mean, there's so much stuff in the air. The USGS says there's 500 million pounds of sand that comes on shore every year here, and to not have some in an air filter would be utterly shocking after the months and months. Does anybody know what the air standard is for the California for a particulate matter? It's 50 microns per cubic meter. 50 microns, micrograms. Does anybody know what 50 micrograms looks like? You're all familiar with this? Packet of Sweet and Low? This is 20,000 times 50 micrograms. I challenge you to open this up, make 20,000 piles out of this little packet, and you can see what pollutes 1 meter of air. In fact, I did a little calc on this room. You could separate this into 40 piles, and one of those little pinches of this stuff would, according to them, pollute this air, and everybody's going to die. This is ridiculous. There's sand blowing off that beach all day and all night. It's not the vehicles. If you guys want to get educated, I can send you the reports from the geologists. If you have not heard yet, dune crust does not exist at Oceano. The air pollution people are air quality specialists. I'm sure they're good at their work. They're not geologists. There's not one geologist on that air report, nor the report before it. Neither one has found a correlation backed by any kind of science. They put one picture in there and say, oh, there's crust. They're not geologists. They didn't have a geologist ascertain that information. They didn't do a study and lay out a grid pattern and see what's every 10 feet. They just took one picture and said that's the cause. The arguments about vegetation are utterly false. There's more vegetation in those dunes right now today than there ever has been, ever. Strand Way covered over sand. Strand Way is keeping the sand down because there's houses there now. You go north the pier and there's a park with artificial plants. That used to be open sand dunes. You go in the back dunes by the lakes and I can show you photographs where that used to be open sand and it's now overgrown. How did that vegetation get there? In the 1950s, the Arroyo Grande Watershed Management Project planted thousands of acres of dune stabilization. That's code word for invasive species. The railroad, Southern Pacific, came through in 1894, planted invasive species. The ranchers planted invasive species. The La Grande Pavilion, which is on the picture right there, that those plants around there were planted artificially to keep the sand down. You can go anywhere in the dunes and find these invasive plants, and they're the preponderance of biomass in the dunes, and they're not natural. And because it's here, we have the best sand situation that we've ever had, but yet there are people trying to blame other things, and they've been doing so for decades. And if you buy into it, what else can I say? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak to this issue? Please. Please state your name and city or town of residence, please.
My name is Don Tillman, and I happen to live at Black Lake, which is right in the path of the particulates. And irrespective of all this information you just heard, you don't have to be a genius. All you have to do is go out on the pier and look down south and where the vehicles run, and you can see a cloud there, and everything else is nice. And I've noticed in my own self over the last 6 months, I picked up a little bit of a cough, and I've been wondering why. And after reading hearing about the report that's been made, the two reports, the picture is starting to clear up a little bit. So it would seem to me that even though this isn't in your jurisdiction, this problem, but to lend substance to somebody doing something about it, especially APCD, would not be out of line. So, thank you.
Okay. Any last comments? Okay, bring it to the board. Discussion. We'll try to get through this as quickly as we can.
Director, Dean, you had a chance to read the report, so that's why I'm just going to ask you, as I haven't had a chance to read the report. I heard that there has been, and it's just a couple quick questions, is that a lot of the eucalyptus trees were removed off the top of the mesa early on, and was that factored into the report, that these eucalyptus that, you know, were planted all over the place for these kinds of things were removed? Was that addressed in the report at all?
They didn't talk about the eucalyptus trees. Okay. They talked about how high the particulates would go,
right.
And they do go high and long. In fact, they can find them. They found particulates in Santa Maria on Broad,
uh-huh.
Broad Street. The thing about these is they're very, very small because the wheels of the tires
right.
grind them down. And on our streets, they grind them down even
right.
more. And one of the participants in the study, Dr. Cahill out of Davis, he's the one that really scared. He put it succinctly. He said they're very small particles, two
right.
microns or less, and they go deep.
That's why
you just
the eucalyptus are so important. That, you know, they just suck all that stuff out of the air. And then secondly, too, is that the high concentration of people moving into that area and just the development and all the dirt and everything like that. Did they take any of those environmental things into consideration in the study?
They did.
Because I'm a little reluctant to sign on to a letter with part of a study.
Well, you can go to www.slowcleanair.org, and
okay.
the study is there.
Okay.
They did look at agricultural uses, and that was not a problem. They actually looked at the coke piles up on the mesa, or out at the petroleum coke piles in agricultural
mm-hmm.
fields are a significant source of ambient. They are not significant sources of ambient particulate matter on the mesas, what they found, because they could determine the kind of particulate that is dropped down
right.
on their test.
Okay.
So those things were in there. I would recommend that you take a look at those.
Yeah.
I also recommend that we support health issues of our people and the Napomo Mesa people. It looks like Pismo and Grover Beach are weighing in on it, and I think we should support our people. This is, you know, it isn't in our purview. It's not one of the things, but often we do support issues that we feel are very important to our residents, and I feel this is very important. What you're talking is very young people and elderly people have health issues related to this, and it also can mean premature death because the stuff, once it's in your lungs, doesn't come out. It's there for good.
Thank you.
Right. Anybody else?
I have a bit of a concern. We were told that our purview is not just water and sewer. That's correct. It's water, sewer, trash collection, fire department, street lighting. And while we are the elected officials for those things, I don't know that we have the expertise to discuss this particular matter. The material that we've been given says that there is an environmental impact statement being prepared. Director Dean mentioned that it might take years. Given 6 months or some reasonable time for that environmental impact study to be prepared doesn't seem to be unreasonable to me in view of our lack of expertise on the subject. I'm also interested to see that this item made it onto our agenda, whereas a quarterly investment report didn't make it onto our agenda, nor did our mid-year budget review. So my question is, where's the money? And I think if the other jurisdictions recommended taking no action pending a environmental impact report, that's probably not an unwise thing to do.
I couldn't quite tell if you were for this or against this, Director Lucy, for sending a letter.
Well, I just think it's incomplete.
Okay. Director Angela?
I don't think I need to give an opinion.
Okay. No, I don't think we have Unfortunately, I don't think we have the support.
Well, I'd like to make a motion and see if we do have support.
Right.
I mean, so I'd like to move that we do send the letter to the APCD and the Board of Supervisors. This would be a letter only recommending that they look into it further and give our support to that.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second? Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second? Okay, I'm not hearing a second. I'll second it so that we get this done with. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
President Bell?
Since the letter is just a letter of vegetation planning, and I'll go ahead and support it, yes.
Director Angelo?
I'm going to abstain.
Director Hill?
No.
Director Lucy?
No.
Okay, so this fails on a 2-2.
An abstention is a yes.
No, that's not correct.
I'm sorry.
An abstention is a yes vote,
so
it passes.
So it passes.
You're right. Okay. All right. Okay. That letter is just that we support any mitigation that would be done. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Mitigation and study, further study.
All right.
Yes. And I can...
I think the further studies are already underway.
Yeah.
I'm talking health issue studies and that kind of thing.
All right. Okay, thank you. We're going to have a lot of stuff we've got to get moving on through, too. So moving on to item number 10A at this time, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is an emergency declaration declared by the board that we have to vote on again. I think the board's familiar with it. Everybody's familiar with it. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay,
no,
quickly,
I said
please.
This is going to be the last comment. The last time
this is on this item.
Right.
Okay.
excuse me. As long as we're paying for inspection of the water and sewer lines, I suggest that whoever the contractor is prepare some maps of the water and sewer lines.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else on the emergency declaration? Okay, hearing none, bring it back to the board. Any comments? Entertain a motion?
I move that we continue the emergency declaration for the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, this takes us on to item number 10B, sewer repair and replacement project payment number 8. General Manager Montemuro.
Sewer repair and replacement project payment number 8. Consideration of district consulting engineer to approve payment number 8 to R. Baker Construction. We recommend approval. All the documentation is in there. The work has been done, and it's been approved. It's passed the inspections, and it's $82,910.95, which we approved in last meeting's warrants, but we didn't actually approve it on the agenda, so I still have the check here. So I would recommend approval.
All right.
I move.
Sorry.
Do we have public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, bringing it back to the board. I'll entertain a motion or discussion.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept 10B, payment number 8 to R. Baker. And where's the other one? I thought there was another one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's just the one. I'm sorry. Yes. That we move forward in paying payment number 8 to R. Baker Construction.
Second.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Director
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Takes us on to the will serve letters. Is there any of these will serve letters that anybody wants to talk about?
Well, I'd ask that we, if it's possible, to table these because I haven't had a chance to drive over to these sites.
How long have these people been waiting for?
This is the second time that the first project, sites project, mm-hmm. has been on the agenda.
The number C one?
Yeah.
Yes. And D, is this the first time for D?
Yeah.
First for D, E, and F.
So would that be a hardship on these if we table these? Will sir.
Some of these are remodels and room additions. One's putting in a garage and a roof. They're basically not even anything that's going to get a OCSD service. So I would hate to see these held up for...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to see them held up. And they're pretty simple remodels. There is the CHC Health Center modular that's going in. And I only had one question on that. So.
On the CHC remodels?
Yes.
And okay. All these are doing curbs and sidewalks.
All right. Can we take these? Does everybody okay if we take these all as a group and just talk about them and then go from there instead of one at a time?
I'm fine with talking to them as a group.
Okay.
I just need consistency.
All right, great. Is there any public comment on any of these will serve letters that are items number 10, C, D, E, or F?
I'd like to know more about this D.
Okay. We're public comment. Hold one second. Any public comment on any of these items? Okay.
Yeah, my public comment is if there's not an obvious problem, you should. These shouldn't even be coming to the board, as far as I'm concerned. This should be done in house. And if there's, I mean, if something's really bad here, yeah, but I can't see anything that's, you know, it's even relevant to you guys looking at it. And these people, some of them got thousands of dollars wrapped up for months. And, you know, it's ridiculous for you guys to hold something like that up.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have a public comment on these items?
I move that we...
Okay, we'll bring it back to the board. Okay. Any questions on any of these items?
I do have a question on number D, so I'll move that we approve items 10 C, E, and F, which is the SIPES, DIAS, and Salguero projects.
I'll second those, and I have a question on D also.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Of course.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, that takes us... Can we get this one done in 2 minutes? Takes us to 10D, will serve letter, fire safety for the community health centers.
My question, I have a question about any special requirements for commercial buildings regarding fire sprinklers.
I don't have that information, but I'm almost certain that they're going to have to put in a fire sprinkler system.
At the CHC, that's what I'm thinking too.
And we got an approval from the fire department for the plans.
Okay. Okay, that's all I really needed to know. There's something here at facade elevation, which is this okay. Everybody should take a look at it. I think.
I saw in here it says CDF Oceano, which is exists as near as I can tell, and it also says that while we're being asked to supply water, it says, is this project to be connected to an existing sewer line? The answer is check no.
Yeah,
I believe that we don't do separate service,
right,
according to our ordinances. So those are my reservations with this. Perhaps we could take it back and get those questions answered.
It came to the OAC on the same issues. It was sent back for the same reasons. And when it came back the second time, It was a matter of the person that filled this out filled it out improperly.
So
we've got 20 seconds. Are we going to have to go to an extension?
Also, I believe that's why it states that there are no fees due at this time, and also that engineering plans are required before they're finalized.
Right. Are we going to table this? We're going to extend the meeting. Or both.
Table it and let's get it corrected.
Okay. This item is tabled. And unless somebody wants to extend, any motions to extend? We're adjourned.